Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines and the latest matchup reports for this year's NBA playoffs. BetOnline is your sports intel headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your insider sports wagering needs. From basketball, MLB, NHL hockey, golf, to UFC and boxing. The fastest and easiest way to get your sports betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games, available to play right from your home. Get into the action today. So head over to the website or use your mobile device to join. And be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, that spells BELIEVE, to receive your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by my co-host, former UCLA linebacker Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
You know, in the dog days of camp, enjoying this. The weather's been pretty beautiful. A few cloudy, light rain days, but other than that, it's been, sunshine and out here in what they call, I guess, the desert of Canada. But I mean, lots of mountains, lots of scenery, no complaints.
And quickly into the preseason, right?
Yes. The boys roll out and play tomorrow. Me and the other vets are sitting this one out, but we will be in action next Thursday.
Do you guys only get one sit out, and then you guys are back at it for what, like another four preseason games, or how many?
Nah, there's only two, and then straight to the season.
Okay, it's only two. Oh, so the NFL is like four, but okay.
Yeah.
You guys do two, right? Okay. I mean, that's even better. Is there like a heavy kind of like a cut day or like a deadline day? Much like the NFL. Because with two games, like, I mean.
Yeah, there's a cut. There was already a cut after rookie camp. A few cuts throughout these training weeks, and then there will be the final cut the day after the second preseason game. Yeah, always tough days.
See it. All right, that's how it goes. That's football for you. And just kind of sticking with football, obviously talking about UCLA. Let's jump into recruiting. There were eight, based on the knowledge I picked up a couple weeks ago, they should be getting greeted at campus already. So assuming that's kind of taking place right now as we're recording, they're going to be spending the next two or three days there. One of them, or they've gotten some pretty good results from recruiting already. They did. So do you remember the last episode when I said Ken Norton Jr. said, you're our guy. There's a reason why we brought you in for this first group, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Well, he committed. Isaiah Patterson, the linebacker, three stars, 6'3", 235 pounds. He's from Washington, and that is the second recruit. Second recruit from Washington they got last week, or I guess this past week. They also got another offensive lineman, this one an offensive tackle from the state of Washington as well. He is Marquise Thorpe Taylor. So he's easily going to be a MTT. That's going to be, I'm sure that will be his initials, but when he gets kind of embedded in the program. But 6'5", 315 pounds, the biggest lineman of the three that they already have committed. They have a few more that are taking visits and whatnot, but three offensive linemen this early. Tim Drevno is doing his thing. It looked a little shaky after Justin Fry left, but I mean, to get three this early on, I think that's kind of impressive, right? I would imagine.
So these are for the class
of 24.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so not so you're looking this ahead. Upcoming season.
No,
following season.
Yeah.
And but that's definitely one of the issues the area that we've been, you know, talking about missing. So yeah, it looks like they're already on it. I'm surprised. Well, they did get the transfer from Colorado. But I am kind of somewhat surprised that they haven't made more pushes for offensive linemen in the portal.
Well, the thing is they looked thin. I kind of would forget about it sometimes. They looked thin during spring ball because some of the guys in the portal hadn't shown up yet. So they're so still...
by fall camp, they'll have more depth.
They should have more depth because they added a guy from College of the Sequoias who's already there, but he came kind of late during the spring. And then they have Jake Wiley, the Colorado kid. And then they have another dude from Old Dominion, Keandre Counta. And then there might be another guy here. Yeah, I think that's it. So they added another guy from JUCO. Then they have another guy that's coming in. And then they have Devake, who's from Summit High in Fontana. I don't think he was there in the spring. I think he's going to be coming in for training camp. I think he was waiting for the high school, you know, to graduate high school. Mm-hmm. And all that. I don't think he was an early enrollee. So yeah, they'll get some guys. They'll get some guys kind of coming in. So they'll have depth. It just looked very thin. But to have three recruits at offensive line already, and they're still recruiting offensive line. I mean, that's a focus, right? Like there's an emphasis being made on, like, this is something we're aware of. Like, we have to address mm-hmm. this. Cause I think they had one offensive lineman in last year's class, in the last two classes, but then the one before that, which might have had some of Justin Fry's, you know, kind of his hands still all over that class. They had like four or five guys, I think. So maybe you're just kind of replenishing guys. You didn't need guys when you had Sean Ryan, Alec Anderson, John Gaines and Mafi. When you had those guys kind of there stable for a couple of years, you weren't getting a lot of depth coming in, but now you're kind of replenishing that room.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of college football too. Like, very different than pro leagues, or even with the transfer portal, you can't replace an entire line. So, I mean, you got to look ahead. Even, you know, after this year, Duke will be gone. Potentially, some other guys could declare, they could graduate, they could enter the portal themselves. So, I mean, yeah, for college positional coaches, it's always looking ahead of like, what am I going to have next year? Which kind of sucks because you can't just focus on now. You always have to be, you know, building ahead for the years to come to make sure that you have depth, because at a certain point when that season gets going, there's no more, you can't just bring in a transfer portal kid. Right. And as soon as, you know, you have an injury or nothing, there's no free agents throughout the season. It's whoever you have going into the season is who you have for the rest of the year. So it's always important, you know, to build that depth up and have guys that, you know, may not be ready per se immediately as they step on, but you mm-hmm. know, kids that you, you know, you can build, project, and grow into the roles that you need to fill.
So it's interesting because, you know, I know some of the UCLA fans on Twitter, and this isn't a knock on them, but I know you would get frustrated just because that's what it would look like in this last class. Like I said, they only had like one offensive lineman. So everyone's like, what's the deal? Why aren't they recruiting offensive linemen? And then it just like, what is Drevno doing? Like, he should be replenishing his room, and now he has three. So it's like, you know, you kind of have to give him a little slack. The coaching staff, they kind of know what they're doing, I would think. But it's just kind of interesting at that moment in time where the fans are just like, what are we doing?
Recruiting is tough. It's not a snap of the finger and automatically, oh, we have we have brand new 2 5-star linemen coming in this summer. Like, it's a process, especially with these kids, the portal, NIL. Like, there's so mm-hmm. many things like that coaches have to go through just to get these kids. And then at the same time, these are their kids. You're trying to get, you know, 16, 17 year old kids to make decisions about what they're gonna do for the next
4 or 5 years.
Yeah. So And we know how this generation is when it, you know, comes to social media and, you know, the cloud attention, all those types of things. So, I mean, a lot of them, you know, want to try to wait and make that decision on signing day, make the big ESPN thing, you know? So it's like recruiting is definitely a process, a long process, and not just a snap of the finger thing. So shout out, you know, shout out to the coach for getting three guys to commit early. Hopefully we get them signed. That is a whole nother.
That's another
process.
Right. And then a name I'm assuming you're going to be familiar with. Well, actually, real quick, for the offensive line, Nathan Roy, the brother of Ben Roy, who's already a UCLA Bruin on the offensive line. He had a visit, so I maybe didn't expect him to commit right away, but I would imagine he's a four-star offensive lineman from Wisconsin. Obviously, that's where his brother's from. He's already familiar with the campus, familiar with the coaches. You know, got to hang out with his brother during his visit. So you would think he's going to come, but you never know. Nothing's for certain, but I think he has some different offers he can explore. But part of me is like, you know, why not? Why would you not join your brother? But going back to what I was saying, a name I'm assuming, at least the last name you would probably be familiar with, Christian Dunbar Hawkins. Hawkins is the last name I'm sure you would probably be familiar with. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he's Armand's nephew. If I'm not mistaken,
so maybe he's off the ground zero tree.
He's out of the ground zero tree, off the ground zero tree. He's from a modern day defensive back, already committed, the highest ranked recruit for UCLA at the moment. He took a visit. But I just thought it was funny that Jim Mora and UConn sent him an offer, yesterday, I guess. And I was like, ooh, look at Mora. He's over here. He knew what he was doing. I mean, you have to imagine.
That might be the works of Jahlil Wadud.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. Was he a ground zero guy as well? I'm trying to
LA guy. And yeah.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting, but seems pretty, pretty solid commit. I think I even saw his tweet, if I'm not mistaken, for Christian, where he said that him going to the UCLA visit was more or less was like, yep, it only solidified why I wanted to go, why I committed here. So I think he's pretty dialed in again, much like you said, you never know. You got to wait until they actually sign, before you can get too excited about these guys. But we did get a question like literally 10 minutes before we started recording. And this came in from, his username is at 3x Oscar winner. I wonder if he's really won three Oscars, but anyways, 3x Oscar winner on Twitter, had a couple questions that I thought were interesting because I posted a list of the eight guys that were out on visits this weekend. And one thing he said was, he said, is it a good idea to have so many visitors in at one time, especially players that play the same position? What is the norm? I'm not implying that they're doing anything wrong, but because he's like, I have no idea. He's just kind of curious behind the thinking behind it. And if there's any strategy, just kind of based on what you know, and as someone who's been recruited, do you look at those kind of things when, you know, you're a linebacker, you're there on a visit, but there's also two other linebackers? Do you kind of like keep that in mind and say, well, yeah, these guys are saying they want me, but they also want these other three linebackers or whatever. And, you know, there's other ones being visiting on different days, but, or different weekends. But I just thought that was kind of an interesting question of like, is there such thing as too many? I answered the question on Twitter already, so I can give my answer after, but I'm just kind of curious about your thoughts of like having eight guys there on visits, some of them being guys at at the same position.
Coaches usually try to build up a big weekend and get in, I wouldn't say as many recruits as they can, but generally like a good group or class together, kind of to build, you know, that group, or, you know, guys are going to come in together. I know for mine, it had, I think mine was majority defense. I think we had about, it was three linebackers. It was me, Roquan Smith, and Keyshawn Lucier South. It was Nate Meters, Octavius Spencer, Colin Samuel, and Deshaun Holliday. And then some other guys had came around that were already committed to UCLA. Mm-hmm. So they kind of do that to – it's not – so it's guys competing for a spot, but it's kind of like coaches will try to say, like, this is – you know, you guys are the future. This could be the unit. This could be mm-hmm. the group that comes in and makes that difference. So it's kind of like already, like, beginning and molding the class together. And it's probably like that for the offensive linemen, like, you know, these three can be – you three can be the guys moving forward, mm-hmm. be that unit, you know, in that class, grow up together, be starters, that type of thing. So it's not you know, like a competition thing. I think it'd be weird if it was like two quarterbacks,
yeah,
you know,
right,
or
right, right.
It was two running backs, like a position where it's like really like,
yeah,
you know,
it's
two
you or me,
where it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, 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 where it's two y'all and it's like, you know, right. Who's getting more attention, you know, who's mm-hmm. showing, you know, it's not.
Because you can't really like, you can't explain that. Like coaches, like you can't say, like, oh yeah, you and him, you guys are going to work together. Like that doesn't work at quarterback. That, you know, maybe at receiver and maybe at running back, you can get away with that. But like at quarterback, you can't do that. But offensive line, obviously, would make a lot of sense with there being five
yeah,
positions.
Yeah, so majority other positions is multiple. And you can see like, okay, he would play Mike, I'd play Will, he would play Sam. Okay, mm-hmm. like this would, it would be us. You know, like we're watching film. Okay, we would all have spots on the field, that type of thing.
Right.
And that's, you know, I feel like that's more of what they had going on. And another thing too is coaches will prioritize who they want to try to get sometimes in when that official is, say they might, I mean, kids have their say too of when they're mm-hmm. trying to, you know, get their official, if like it is what it is, or weekends are open. But for the most part, a lot of coaches will try to get like, this is a priority guy. We need to get him in to see where his mind's at, you know. Maybe you don't get that kid, so then you can have another kid come the following weekend or the next few weekends. But this kid is a priority, so let's hopefully bring him in and get him committed, and then we can knock that spot or that position off the board moving forward.
Yeah, no, I think that's I think you said it well. And that was some of my answer on Twitter. I kind of went with, it's kind of like you have these bigger weekends, especially this weekend's like Memorial weekend. So it's kind of like a longer weekend for some people, or there's a little bit more flexibility where kids don't have to go back to school right away on Monday. So maybe there's a lot of them, a lot of the athletes prioritizing, well, hey, let's go on this weekend. And, you know, why not be in California for an extra day? Maybe if you have to or whatever. But that was kind of my explanation, was like, they, you know, it kind of works out if so-and-so already has something set up with Washington or USC or something already, then that's just the kind of date that worked for both parties, for example. So that's kind of what I kind of said. That was kind of my answer to it. But I think that's a good point too, where you can get maybe a position group together, like linebacker, offensive line, defensive line, and say, this is where we could see all of you guys together and give everyone a spot and show them on the field together, because then no one's left out. No one's feeling mm-hmm. like, well, what am I even doing here? So I think that's interesting. And I think the quarterback thing is interesting. Like, you still have to recruit quarterback, but they have, they had Zach Wilson's brother. I'm blanking on his name at the moment. He committed to Utah. They live in Utah. I think Zach Wilson went to BYU. His top six was like UCLA, BYU, Utah, and like three other schools. I don't remember. But he was like a four-star quarterback. They also had the modern day quarterback that was there that weekend, or supposedly he was there. I don't think I saw him the weekend that I saw the recruits coming in a couple weeks back. So I'm just like, and he was a four-star quarterback recruit as well. And I'm just like, man, do they really need a quarterback? Like, they got Dante Moore, you got Schley, you got, you know, I mean, I don't know how long, I think Schley has 2 years of eligibility. You have Justin Martin there. Sure, Chase Griffin, I think this might be his final year, should probably be his final year. And then you have Garbers there, who's at least set up to be there for this year, and then I would imagine next year as well. So it's like, man, like, can you really recruit quarterback? But you kind of have to, right? Like, it never stops. You have to continue to replenish that position. But it's just so crazy that you get four-star quarterbacks coming in, and like, I don't know, if I was a four-star quarterback and I'm looking at, I mean, if you want to compete, then sure. But I'm just like, for me, I'm like, y'all got Dante Moore there, y'all have Justin Martin. Like, where do I fit it? Like, if you're a four, like, it's different if you're like three-star quarterback. And I mean, it doesn't matter once you, once you're there, as we've said on this podcast before, the stars don't matter anymore. So, but it's just kind of like, if you look at it from that kind of standpoint, it's like, where am I really, what am I really doing here? Like, what, like, do I really, is this really the place I need? I, even if you want to be there and you're taking the visit just because you want to be there, or you want to see how it's going to work out. But I mean, I don't know, but that's one of those positions, I guess.
Yeah. It all depends on the kid, their goals and their plans. Mm-hmm. You know, are guys there for the degree? Is a guy there to be close to home? Is it, you know, or is it to just go to the NFL, get play time, compete? So, I mean, yeah, quarterback's a tough one because you never know what will happen, you know, with injuries and transfers and all that type of thing. So, like, you always have to have guys in there ready to go, which can be difficult because that's one of those groups where it's only one person playing. But also for a coach, you want guys that are going to contribute to the room and for the team success, guys that will help break down defenses, break down film, help with preparation for whoever the starter is going to be. You see that even now in the pro level. I mean, it's it's a lot of the times you see there be a starter, and then you have those, you know, those vets that are, you know, the backups are in the room that I guarantee have a lot of help and have a lot of, you know, hands on when it's, you know, not game day, of getting the quarterback prepared and helping the team be successful. And I mean, I believe that's probably a role that Chase Griffin's in right now. With all the competition going on, he's the guy that's been there the longest and probably knows the system better than anyone else, even though he hasn't played nearly as much. But I guarantee that next year when he leaves, it's going to be a big loss for the room because everything he probably contributes.
Yep. That's for sure. And interesting that you mentioned the pro level too. I don't know if you saw, I guess it because I kind of remember it, but the 49ers had a game where I think like they had two quarterbacks that got bumped out and they were pretty much just running the ball. They made a rule where they added a, I guess, a third quarterback to the roster. I think it's like a third quarterback to the roster, but or two that could be on the active game day roster, but doesn't count against the roster, but it's just to help prevent that. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And I could see that at UCLA. I mean, Rick Neuheisel tells a story on SiriusXM radio all the time of he had two quarterbacks battling for the position and both of them went down with like leg issues during like summer camp or something the same day. And the whole season
what do you do?
Yeah.
And I mean, for the 49ers, their situation was crazy. Yeah. Your starter gets hurt. Your next, the other dude competing with him got hurt.
Purdy.
Yeah. And then the guy you bring in to hopefully be a backup, he gets hurt. So it's that's a position where it's like, you never know when you're going to need the depth, but you're going to need it because that is a position that like, you can't just put anyone in there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where there's certain things where it's like, you know, maybe a certain DB is hurt and you have all these other DBs to put in there, or a linebacker spot's hurt, you have to put a bigger DB in there, or a DN's hurt, you have to put a linebacker. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like kind of all these positions you might be able to get away with, you know, having somebody else, but like quarterback, like you can't put your, you know, you put a running back in there, we can't throw, you put a, I don't know, a receiver in there, but it's like, it's a pivotal position of like, you need a guy that knows what he's doing. You can't just throw somebody in there. That's like win or loss.
Right. And pretty much like Chase Griffin, when he got his moment, I mean, they damn near still almost beat Oregon.
That's a guy that's already knows what he's doing.
And he'll tell you, he had it on Twitter when we were talking about something. And he said he's 1-0 in the Rose Bowl. So, you know, he remembers what he did and he knows what he can do. So, and that's what you want. You want to have confident quarterbacks. But to that point, maybe this is not so much of a trick question. I don't know if you saw the tweet that I also put out about like an hour ago. Who would you say right now is the face of UCLA football? As far as like guys on the active roster right now.
It's between two people right now. It's between Latu Latu.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one I would say would be Dante Moore.
Okay. So I'm glad you brought up Latu. So I was at Walmart getting some stuff for the house, whatever. And I knew that the preview magazines were starting to come out.
Mm-hmm.
So I went looking in the magazine aisle and I didn't see the magazine. I had seen someone tweet out. So I'm like, okay, maybe they're just not in stores yet. And then right when I go to check out, I see the magazine. I pick up the magazine. I look at the magazine. And I had a thought about it. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but I had a thought about it. And mm-hmm. I was like, all right, weird, weird. I checked the date. Yep, 2023. Okay. And I just bought it. And I went back to the car and I looked at it again. Number 15 jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I go and look at I look at the roster and I'm like, who's number 15? Latu. All right, got it. I'm trying to show you on the thing, but it wants to be blurry. Does that look like Latu?
That is the African American player. Who is that?
That is Jordan Jenmark Keith from like 2 years ago. And I knew right away because it says like grad transfer on it, or no, graduate. But I'm like, this is an African-American man. Now, sure, you may have just been in the habit of just putting DTR in there the last 2 or 3 years and calling it a day. And I know that for these magazines, they regionalize them. So it's the same magazine, but they change the cover based on what area it is. So they get a Cal guy. They usually have a Stanford guy, but they don't this year. They get a Cal guy. They get a USC guy, obviously Caleb Williams, and they get a UCLA guy. But I'm just like, wow, is that where UCLA is at right now with the national magazines? I was like, that's kind of tough. And even on the inside, even on the inside picture, it was dude again. Wrong, Jordan Jenmark Keith. And it said, caption, Latu Latu. And I'm like, that is not Latu Latu. And I hate calling out like publications because I work for a publication. And I hate when we get.
That's what I was about to say. How does something like that get approved and passed through and printed and copied over and over? Like, how did nobody catch that?
That's in stores and that ain't coming back. That ain't getting sent back. I don't necessarily think they're going to be making copies to fix the mistake. Oof. But I just thought that was kind of crazy because I'm just like, I mean, that's partly why it's kind of like, bad, not bad, but that it's kind of risky when you're putting out a magazine so early. And I mean, we had it 1 year, the high school magazine that Lokenny and Helinski and
Ding Ding and Alloway
were on. So not that year, but I think like the next year or the year after, we had like a centennial dude on there, and dude transferred out after he was on the cover of the magazine, but then transferred out and went to a different school, and we're like, the magazine was already out, but dude transferred like super late in the summer.
Okay, that's not as bad.
That's not as bad, no, but I'm just like, that's the risk you take. But I'm just like, you getting dude from like 2 years ago.
We need a public apology to UCLA football and Latu Latu of the disrespect that we will not be taking. They put Caleb Williams on there, and we know that's Caleb Williams.
Yep, yep.
And put then some the respect other... on Latu Latu's name.
That's crazy. And then they have Jaden Ott, who's from Norco. Who's the Cal running back, the sophomore now. But I saw that and I was like, damn, I'm like, I gotta tell Twitter folks about this. And they weren't happy about it. And they had some choice words for the magazine. It's tough. I get it. I work for a newspaper. We have our fair share of typos sometimes, but man, if you're gonna, you know, you put dude that big, you can't miss. You can't. And then you put him again on the inside cover and got it wrong again.
Yikes. Yeah, doubling down on the disrespect.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. But thought I'd mention that to you and just kind of see where what your reaction was. And I was just kind of curious if you would kind of guess Latu there. Dante Moore is another good guess as well. Hey, everybody, just wanted to take a quick break to remind you guys that the football season is right around the corner. And when you're headed out to the Rose Bowl, what better shirt to wear than a Believe in UCLA football podcast shirt? By doing that, you're going out, you're going to the game, you're supporting your team, and you're supporting your favorite podcast at the same time. Some of the proceeds go back to the podcast and help support the content and the different things that we have planned going forward. So what better way to, again, support your team and your favorite podcast than by picking up the shirts? Now, where can you find these shirts? They're available at the Believe Network store. And we made it very easy for you. Scroll down on this podcast. Check out the description. I got two links there for you for two different shirts. make sure you check them out. Find the one that's right for you. And hopefully I see you wearing them out at the game. I'd love to see you wear them. I do want to, I guess, kind of provide an update. This is not like kind of publicly, there was no press release or anything like that. But for Bill McGovern, I'm taking it for what it is. I'm just kind of reading the tea leaves here. There was a photo put out by Ryan Abraham. I'm sorry if I'm getting the name wrong. He covers USC football, but he was at this bicycle event fundraiser, and he took a photo with Chip Kelly and Tim Drevno, who we talked about earlier, the offensive line coach, and they had these shirts. And so the USC reporter had said, they're here for Bill McGovern. And they even had shirts that said Viking for Billy. So it was a cancer fundraiser event. As we all know, Bill McGovern, former defensive coordinator, had, an unspecified, undisclosed illness. And he still remains with the team. And I believe he's the football director of administration. So I'll kind of leave that there. It was a cancer event and they were, fundraising on behalf of Bill McGovern. So just want to kind of put that out there. Again, nothing official. Might be some time before we can even ask Chip about that and even kind of just get an update. I'm sure he's in communication pretty often with Bill McGovern, but just wanted to send some positive vibes out to Bill McGovern based on what I was able to kind of look. It's all public information. For the Biking for Billy team, it looks like some of McGovern's, some of his family was there. The tight ends coach, Jeff Ferris, was there. And I believe, a few other guys from the staff, Keith Belton, the strength and conditioning coach, and then Ryan Gunnarsson and I think his wife maybe. But they raised over like $11,000. So I just thought it was pretty cool that they were able to do that and kind of support Bill McGovern in that way. Again, just kind of take that information for what it is, but just wanted to kind of mention that and again send positive vibes out to Bill McGovern. Trying to think what else. I think that's kind of all I really got. I'm sure there's some questions that we can get into. I mentioned one earlier. Another one that was kind of someone asked me, but I saw this. Martin Jarman, athletic director, did an article with, or more or less a Q&A with Sports Illustrated. And in that article, he was asked a couple questions, some things we've kind of asked him about before. But one of them was, will we ever see alternate uniforms for the football team? And he just said, we will not rule out the possibility, but we want to make sure the timing is right. Or he wants to make sure if we do it, that we do it right and that it honors the tradition, like it honors, whatever they're honoring or, it's done right pretty much. So does that mean you're going to get alternate jerseys this year? No, but we've kind of talked about this already, but what would you like to see them in? I've seen some like old school baby blues that were put out there and I think they even wore them like from way back in the day. And I think they wore them again, like in 2009. I don't know what kind of old, like when was the last time there was really like different uniforms for UCLA? Did you guys do it often? I know there were the all blacks and whatnot,
with
but I don't know.
With Adidas, there was one a year. When we went to Under Armour with Mora, mm-hmm. we did a whiteout and then never again. There was talks, but then those whites ended up being our practice pants.
That's crazy.
that was crazy. That's when we knew it was like, oh, yeah, Chip's doing no alternates. That's if this.
Oh,
is
so you all knew from the beginning. Yeah.
We knew we're never getting those again. But with Adidas, it was fire because it was like one a year and mm-hmm. we got to keep them. We had like the black joints. Before me had the gray joints. We had a military one where it was like a navy blue with a mm-hmm. with an American flag face mask situation.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. But I think Chip likes under like the tradition, like having mm-hmm. just a home and away, like Alabama, yeah. like SE, like so. Mm-hmm. If it's up to him, I doubt they do that. Even though coming from
Oregon.
Yeah. But I feel like that was Oregon's tradition. You know, Oregon's tradition is having something different every week. And like UCLA being one of the prestigious, you know,
right.
I think having just the classics are like what it is. So,
I'm sure for as many people who want to see the alternate, like the alternate jerseys, I would imagine the moment they change them, people are going to be like, what are they doing? What is this? This is not what we do. This is not tradition. So it's going to go back the other way regardless.
You're going to get love and hate for it.
You're never going to win. Yeah. So that was interesting. So obviously you guys aren't going to keep the day-to-day or your week-to-week jerseys. But the alternates you guys did get to keep just because they were kind of one-offs more or less, right?
I mean, at the end of the season, you do get your jerseys.
Oh, you do? Okay, so they are brand... Yeah, I guess that makes sense. They get brand new ones every year.
Yeah, even though they look the same, you get them every year. And there's like... I mean, there's always extras because in case your jersey rips, I don't know if they give us the extra ones, but yeah, at the end of the year, you get a home and away.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that raises the question. What did you do with yours? So wait, you probably have like 4 and 4. So you probably have like 8 total?
Something like that.
You still have
I think one of them used for our senior thing. I don't know what.
Or like they put in the frame on for senior day, that whole deal, or.
Yeah, some they at the house somewhere or they at with family.
But so. you didn't like sell them or anything.
No.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I know people do that. Or like before NIL, that was a really big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now it's crazy because like, especially like Oregon, they got all their jerseys. Like my boy, like has all
Damn.
Of his, all of Gary Baker has all of his jerseys.
Wait, do they put you guys do last names. You guys put last names on the back of the jersey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's not the sewed on strip, right? It's like on there, right?
Nah, it's like a sewed on plate.
Oh, it is the plate
situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good deal. Interesting. Again, as we kind of wrap things up, we have a few minutes here. I did see Shea Pitts is teammates with somebody. Or he's there for the Titans with somebody who, like, I guess Shea Pitts' grandfather and this other dude's grandfather played in, like, Super Bowl II or something, like Small World.
I think Super Bowl, like one or two.
At first, I thought I was saying Shea Pitts' dad, Ron, and I'm like, he's not that old.
He played in the league too.
But... No, I know, but that's why I was like, oh, dang. But I never knew that Shea's grandfather played. Would have asked him about it. I didn't even know that. I knew his father.
NFL lineage.
I guess because his father played at UCLA, I always heard about that, but I never heard about the grand. I'm assuming he didn't go to UCLA. So maybe that's why I didn't hear about it, but I thought that was interesting. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you guys go ahead and follow us on Twitter. Give us any feedback, Instagram as well. And let us know what you think. Again, this has been the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.